Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our first Laker hockey show of the season. We didn't get time to throw together an open close this week, but we're just coming right on the air at you. But we are live from the studios of Sovereign Communications, and I'm Bill Crawford, Matt Pockets alongside Damon Wittens with us. We're going to talk Laker hockey for the next hour here on 1400 ESPN Radio. And Damon, we're coming off a couple of close wins over an Adrian College team that was a heck of a lot better, I think, than a lot of people thought they were going to be going into that series. We threw that series together because Ferris State couldn't play hockey due to the COVID-19 problem. And we also lost Northern Michigan and a couple of other teams in the WCHA to the pandemic. But Lakers have been fortunate. They've been staying healthy and ready to go. And we had a very interesting series with a pretty good Adrian College team.
Well, like you said, staying healthy through this has been, really a great thing for our program and for our players who certainly as the coach, that's my main focus is, not only preparing them for hockey and for life, but, they need this. And so we're thankful that we're playing and going. Our team and our staff has sacrificed a lot to get to this point. So as you said, we're doing anything we can to play games, to find games. Not easy to do as we're watching, all leagues and all games being postponed, being canceled. I think I talked to our players at one point this weekend. There's only 16 college hockey games this weekend, and two of those were ours, certainly. So, that's been a nice reward for our players for all they've given up to try to keep this season going and get games in. And it was different preparation for sure. We went into Wednesday practice still planning on playing Ferris. Shortly after practice, we found out that that Friday night game would not happen. So we knew Friday would not happen. We were still trying to work with Coach Daniels and the Ferris staff to keep Sunday's game on tap and then use that Wednesday Northern cancellation to shift Ferris to a Sunday Wednesday. So we were able to work with Adrian to keep that Friday home game in place. And then shortly after, Coach Daniels had to confirm that the Sunday game could not happen as well. So we had a chance to maybe play three games and add Adrian in there for the one. And then when Ferris had to cancel the Sunday game or reschedule that game, we jumped in with Adrian to keep our travel schedule on tap the way it was, or our whole weekend schedule. And again, we were hopeful that we could play Ferris on Sunday, Wednesday, and then we only lost one game from Northern Michigan. So it's going to be a lot of disruptions, a lot of changes. And I told the guys, we didn't get much prep time. A lot of our prep week was spent on some of Ferris's strengths and weaknesses, areas that, are a real challenge to us and the opportunities they present. And we had to quickly shift focus to an Adrian team that obviously we don't know much about, but, they did a good job. Adam Krug is a former player of mine. I coached all the Krug boys at one point in my career. And, it's a family that I know well, and he's done a great job at Adrian. And, Adrian's done a great job building their school in a lot of ways around that hockey program and around their facility there. So it was a much different feel to the series, not only in preparation and planning, but style of play. I thought that was one of the good things. They really get up and down the ice well. They come after you really well. So I think it was a total flip in style of play from the Michigan Tech series. So I think that was really good for our guys to have to get up and down and play with a lot more pace and transition game than we saw before that. So it was closer than we probably would have liked for sure. I'm not sure the games were ever, in a real question on that first game. We scored two goals early in the game. I forget what nights they all run together at this point with the disruptions. Friday night, two quick goals. And I think, the guys let off the pedal there a little bit, thought it was going to be an easy night. And then Adrian really pushed back. But we're kind of always in control of that game. And, we pushed through. We had some good performances individually. Brandon Percelli his line with Manns and Jeffers played really well. Will Rydell had a big game. Yuki Miura. So I thought that was, good. And then Sunday had a different feel, going down a 2 o'clock start time, just a much different feel there. And, I thought we were okay. We didn't play, guys didn't play as well as they had, certainly, against the Tech series there. Defensively, we weren't as clean. Turned some pucks over, but that was, again, credit to Adrian for really getting after us on the forecheck. None of us had ever been in that building before, so just a little bit different adjusting into there. And, again, I thought they played really hard. They came at us, and he's done a really good job with that program. And then, again, we found a way to win. Ashton Calder, a big goal coming out of the penalty box, and I like that we got Ethan Langenager in. I thought Ethan got a chance to go in. It was a 2-1 game on the road. He's never played a college minute. you know, coming off the bus and things like that. And I thought he really shut the door, had two or three good shots early on that he handled calmly. And then, you know, had to handle a lot of dump pucks, you know, and he was really good with his puck touches there, setting up our zone exits and our exits. So I thought we clamped down both nights and really shut the door late, but, it was good. It was good to be playing. I'm glad we were able to find games and keep going there, and certainly hopeful that we're on track for this upcoming weekend as well.
You get that first road trip of the season. That's always good. I know coaches have talked for many years now about how going on the road helps to bring your team together, because you take a travel squad, you don't have everybody there, and you room together, etc. You stay overnight to get ready to play, and there's a certain amount of camaraderie that comes out of a road trip, and the Lakers finally get one in.
Yeah, nice. And as you know, the original schedule, you know, if everybody recalls, we were going to go to Alaska the opening weekend, so we would have really our longest road trip of the year before COVID and disruptions and things like that. So this was different. We'd actually set up our schedule to not have any overnights, just due to you know, COVID issues and things like that. So as we work through our preseason, they're not non-conference schedule, you know, we wanted to avoid any long trips, any overnights, just to, you know, to be extra vigilant and careful for our players and for our own community and traveling to and from. You know, originally, like I said, just going into Northern Michigan, just going into Ferris, you'd be to the rink, in your locker room, back on the bus, food delivered to the bus and home. So there really would have been, you know, minimal risk or you know, issues that way. And obviously with the Ferris disruption, that had to change a little bit. So it was good to do that. Again, very different. We're a lot of years, you know, guys are really free to do their thing on the bus. And, you know, you room a senior with a freshman to help them kind of learn the Laker way. And because of COVID, that was all changed. You know, we had guys you live with all season long, was your rooming in the road. We wanted to avoid any kind of mingling of rooms or apartments and things like that. So a different feel, but yeah, a quick little trip, and guys enjoyed some time away to you know, give each other the gears on the bus and bond a little bit and get to know each other a little bit better.
Bill Crawford, Laker head coach Damon Witten, Matt Pocket here. It's so interesting because I think in youth hockey levels in particular, you're used to this kind of anytime, anywhere. That's life as a hockey player for you. You just show up at whatever rink it is today. You play your one game, two game, eight games in a day, whatever it might be. But when you get to the higher levels, it's the complete opposite. Everything is very scripted, very structured throughout the day, travel itself, which rinks you're going to, what you do when you get there. So it's interesting how that changes as you get older.
It is. And I think, you know, you're really, it's probably hard to explain a little bit, but we are big time creatures of habit. Yep. And routine and even superstition in our the things we do in our approach, you know. And in the West, in college hockey, you pretty much play Friday, Saturday, you know, it's 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, some teams going a little bit earlier. So this is all very different. And guys, you know, pregame routines, meals, you said the rinks we're used to going into and the hosting facilities, you know, there's not very many rinks that I haven't been to in NCAA that would be new to me, but Adrian was one of those, just like it was for all of our players. So it is different, you know, when playing that early games, it's different. I think it's okay, because I think there's going to be continue to be disruptions and changes to schedules and maybe opponents. So I think it's a good thing to go through, but it is not an easy task at this point of your career. And maybe I'm reading too much. Maybe it's more coaches at this point that we like to control so much, and our practice schedules and our pregame skates and the timing of meals. You know, all those things are laid out in detail, you know, in June and July. And, you know, we do not like to stray from those too much, but you're forced to, and it's a good lesson to be have. And again, you know, we're grateful we're playing. So it was a good adjustment to have to go through.
I think there is something to be said for that, though, because there's a lot of data that goes into all that. It's not just you guys pulling times out of a hat or anything. Well, let's eat it this time. There's a lot of science that goes into that too, in terms of recovery and all the rest of it.
Yeah, nutrition and game prep. You know, Pat Sarney, our athletic trainer, has a big role in a lot of those timings. Certainly, Taylor Brown, our strength conditioning coach, does a great job with recovery, whether it's just sleep habits, workout patterns, you know, diet, all those things. That like you said, the science is really changed since I played. You know, sometimes you can fall back on, well, that's the way we used to do it, and in your comfort level, but we really try to watch the science and be up to date with what's going on. And that's probably one of the biggest difference over the last 8-10 years, the way you know, the science is as shown on recovery, on sleep habits, things like that. That's really driven a lot of what we want to do. We want to be you know, ready to play, and then when the puck drops on a Friday night, Saturday night, that's when it's time to be at your optimal performance.
Couple of wins on the weekend over Adrian College, 5-3 on Friday night. Damon, 2-1 at Adrian on Sunday afternoon. Matt, you broadcast that game.
Yep.
We'll talk a little bit about that series in a moment, but before we get too much deeper into the show, I want to make mention that we do have schedule change here. That was announced earlier today, but we're going to be playing against Alabama Huntsville this weekend, and instead of it being Sunday and Monday, which is the way it was set up originally in the preseason non-conference schedule, it's now going to be Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. against Huntsville. And everybody's watching on Flow TV now, or they're listening to us on SFM to get the game because no fans can go. So it's important we let them know we have these changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that is just working with, you know, the league members there and you know, trying to be an accommodating partner with those schools. Obviously, we had Huntsville on the schedule and they were looking for games because of their footprint. You know, the other one that you know, we talked to early was Bowling Green. They were kind of, you know, waiting for some Big Ten decisions with their footprint, having Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State in their backyard, the NCHC with Miami in their backyard. So, you know, every option was explored early on preseason as we're all waiting for a start date and max number of games non-conference, you know, all those things. And I think, you know, one of the things that happened earlier, again, you know, we got some good dates with Northern Michigan, some good dates with Ferris. I think Northern and Tech, you know, went out west a little bit. You'll see that Bemidji-Mankato series coming up with those schools here shortly. So, you know, we all tried to do the best we could to maximize the games played that we could and find partners that were willing and able to partner together to make a robust non-conference schedule.
Bowling Green's playing tonight, as a matter of fact. They are playing at Robert Morris, I think. There are a number of games going on tonight. I think that bubble series that the NCHC is playing starts tonight as well.
Yeah, I just caught that as before I shifted over from the rink and in post practice there. Duluth and Omaha dropped the puck. Duluth had an early 1-0 lead, and a lot like a couple goals we've scored with some low to high pounds and some net front presence with a tip there. So Duluth was up early as I was coming over. It'll be interested to tune into that Bowling Green Robert Morris game as well. But yeah, I think there's games every day. College hockey, you know, not withstanding any postponements or cancellations, but every day until Christmas Eve, there's college hockey on some, you know, type of stream or TV or whatever the case may be. So it'll be a fun time that way to be able to really watch some games and watch what's going on around the country.
Yeah, it's a great season for Flow hockey. They're going to make a lot of money here. Everybody's buying into Flow hockey, even you're a casual fan because they want to watch something. There's so little going on. I was watching some Big Ten basketball this afternoon before I came out here, and even that's really enjoyable. Oakland and Purdue I watched for a while, and there are other games going on too, basketball. I think Michigan State plays, what, tonight?
Yeah, they have a game tonight.
So everything's happening. It's all getting and fans love it. I mean, everybody wants to see something at this point. Let's talk a little bit more about this series with a surprisingly good Adrian College team. I really liked how well coached they were. I think Adam Krug's done a great job. They had 7 freshmen in their lineup, and you wouldn't have known most of them were freshmen. They played like they'd been around for, and it's probably their 4th, 5th game ever at college hockey level. So I was impressed with how well coached they were and how hard they played.
Yeah. Well, and you can see why they're a powerhouse, you know, at the Division III level. They've done a great job, and, you know, they'd fit right into the league and into Division I game. So no question, you know, they've got some advantages that they deal with there at Adrian. And, you know, obviously Finlandia has a program way up north, but they're in a great hotbed to go after talent that's overlooked. I mean, you saw it, Bill, that there's a couple guys that have already transferred from Division I to Adrian, but there's no question those, you know, a lot of those players could be playing, you know, at the Division I level with the right opportunity and the right, you know, team to maybe take a chance on them. So a really well-coached team. He does a great job recruiting, Adam does, and Ron Fogarty before him. And again, Adrian's, you know, built a lot of their model around that program to recruit to that university and to build their enrollment. And it was good. It was a good experience. I think it's good for our game. Like I like, you know, that in the state, you know, I'm obviously a downstate guy and our staff is, we're all from that Detroit metro area. And I think it's good for the state of Michigan for more kids to learn what that level's like, how good it is, the opportunities that are out there. And, you know, so it was a good showcase for the state of Michigan.
They've got 7 teams over there between their ACHA teams and their women's teams. I mean, that rink is always in use. It's a really cool facility. They've got a nice restaurant upstairs that overlooks the rink too. It is definitely a hockey school over there. As for this team, what stood out too, I thought speed. There's some fast guys. That Luciani kid in particular. Whew. He can fly.
Yeah, no, like I said, they've done a good job. They've got a lot of pace. And that's why, you know, one of the real positives out of the series was just style of play. Like, we had a much different feel to it than that opening weekend. You know, probably, you know, we were a little bit sharper because we had a couple of games in our belt. I think that was their seventh, eighth game of the year. So they're certainly kind of in their game shape and ready to play more. But a lot of pace in that lineup, and they like to get up and go. And again, you can see, you know, why they're so successful, you know, amongst their league and nationally. Amongst the Division III programs, you know, they do a really good job and they're hard to play against.
All right, we're going to take a break here in our show tonight. We are doing this live from the studios at Sovereign Communications, and we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
The holidays are the most joyous time of the year. They're also the most expensive. But with a little help from Sioux Co-op Credit Union, you can be prepared. Talk to us about a holiday loan. Borrow from $1,000 to $5,000 for up to 12 months for as low as 4.178% APR. Our holiday loan rates are more affordable than in-store credit cards as well as other credit cards. Apply online at SiouxCoop.com. Some restrictions do apply. Equal opportunity lender.
Just because another mandate has come down from Lansing doesn't mean you still can't enjoy your favorite food and drinks from Sioux Brewing Company. Open every day, offering carryout. During the present mandate, we're offering $2 off growler fills. So treat yourself to a Laker Gold, Maggie's Irish Red, or 13 IPA. Now on the corner of Ashman Street and Portage Avenue, your town, your beer, Sioux Brewing Company.
All righty, we are back with the Laker Hockey Show, our first of the season, and we've got some technical things we got to work out a little bit with our show. We will have a show again next week, by the way. We're going to play two games this weekend with Huntsville coming to Sault Ste. Marie, so Damon and Matt and I will sit in here next Tuesday at the same time at 5 p.m. We have changed the time of the game, too, or the show. It's always been at 6 p.m. from the Antlers, but obviously with everything closed down, the Antlers can't play host to the show, at least at this time of the year, and so we're in studio, and we're doing it at 5 p.m. rather than 6 p.m., but we will have a show next Tuesday, and then we'll probably take a hiatus for the holiday and come back when we play in the month of January, and hopefully the pandemic will give us a chance to play some hockey. We are scheduled, Damon, to start playing WCHA play January 1st and 2nd when Alaska comes to town.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to skip ahead and get past this series and in the holidays and things like that. But certainly, you know, that the eye is keeping an eye on that. You know, we're prepping for what that looks like as we return and get ready to launch that conference season. And whether it's practice planning, lineup, certainly as we've, you know, gotten everybody, I think in a game, at least one game now at this point, or in case of our goaltenders, at least some action. So, you know, everything we've done has been a little bit geared toward prepping for that and getting off to a good start in conference play. Certainly that Northern Michigan cancellation changes our start because we were supposed to have one conference game due to a conflict with the I-500. So, you know, we've got that in the back of our head, but there's still a big weekend ahead of us here and some other prep to be done.
Yeah, lots of stuff to talk about here tonight. We will talk at depth about the Huntsville team in just a moment here, but want to stick with the Lakers for a few minutes. It's been really good how some of the players have gotten off to a good start here. I think in particular, your leadership crew has been really good. I think Marek Smittens has been solid in goal as a senior, and Lucas Kybel's been outstanding. I think he's been a star of the game. As we've seen it maybe three times in the four or five games you've played now. And Hampus Eriksson's been really good. Calder's got three goals right now. Another guy wearing an A and showing some leadership there. And Yuki Miura's been outstanding. So, you know, your leadership guys, Muka too, Miro Muka, They played well.
Yeah. I mean, you hit a lot of different guys, but you're right. I mean, that was one of our focuses. Obviously, you know, we're playing non-conference game against conference opponents. We still don't have a, you know, great feel how the national tournament field is going to be fully built up and picked. So, you know, certainly we want to get off to a good start. You want to win games, but like you said, we want to develop. We want to put guys in positions to be successful, not only those leadership guys and those top impact guys, but our young guys. You know, it's a chance to get them off to a good start to their college careers and build confidence. And so that part has gone well. And, you know, Merrick's Mittens that Tech weekend was outstanding, you know, played very, very well. You know, had a bit more, of an up and down game, that last Friday, and just tough. You know, we had the early lead, didn't see a shot till about 10, 11 minutes in, a little bit like Michigan Tech, where I think our first shot against Tech was only with, 6 or 8 minutes left in the first period. So some tough games for a goalie to get into. And then, you know, really shut the door down at Adrian. So it was good, you know. And again, we had scripted that, you know, Ethan and Seth would have gotten a little bit more time had the Northern Michigan series not gotten dropped at this point. But we had scripted out fairly accurately how we wanted to get those guys some minutes and get them adjusted to the college game there. But Mitz has done a great job. It seems like he's ready to play. And, you know, he'll continue to get some big minutes as we get before the break. And then you mentioned guys like Calder, Kaibel off to good starts. I think Hampus Eriksson's been maybe our most consistent and best forward, played really well. I think Dustin Manns has taken a really good step with his game. He's played well. But Kaibel, the captain, you know, he's playing the right way. He's playing great defensively, heavy, hard, really, really setting the tone for our team, and joined by Will Rydell and Nordquist. So, you know, those key guys, those leaders, really important to get off to a good start. They've done that so far.
One thing that stood out to me over the last, over the first 4 games of the season, you've got Manns who's stepping up in particular, as you said, but that Manns, Puricelli, Jeffers line seems to have a lot of cohesion. You've got the line with Yuki, Muka, and Hampus Eriksson, but then you've also got that top line of Viet, Boudon, and Calder as well. You've got 3 potential high-scoring lines here with some good chemistry going on. This is something that we haven't really seen here a whole lot. Usually it's kind of 1 or 2 lines deep. There's a lot of depth, but it's not even just that kind of depth either. You can change your lineup one night to the next if you want to throw a different look at somebody. There's bodies on the bench that are really good players.
Yeah, you know, it is. And I don't think we can sit here and say the Bedoin line's the number one line. I think we've got, you know, maybe a 1A, 1B, 1C, depending on the night. And like you said, that's a little bit different. We haven't quite had that depth, you know, last year and in some previous years as well. You know, so that's a good problem to have. You know, getting Puricelli and Jeffers in there has added a different dynamic to our team. You know, Brandon and Jack are both off to great starts with Dustin Manns mostly. Again, we've already talked about Hampus. He's probably been our most consistent forward playing the right way. And him, Miura, and Muka have great chemistry amongst them. So they've been really good. You know, I don't think the Bedoin line has been, you know, quite firing on all cylinders yet. I think we see small glimpses of it. And I think, you know, and you kind of referenced them as a number one line minutes ago. And I think all these lines view themselves that way, but I think they force things a little bit. You know, they don't want to keep the game simple enough right now. And, you know, that happens when you're, you know, Louis, a former all WCHA player, freshman player. So was Calder, you know, Pete led our second in team in goals last year. So, you know, they all want to get off to a good start, and for them, that's offense. And I think that'll come. So they've been good. They can be better, and we're going to keep pushing them to get better, but a very competitive, you know, depth and options to roll out some good lines.
Yeah, it's pretty early in the season, and yet the power play has not been very good through the first 4 games. I know you're not even happy with it. I could tell by post-game comment the other day, but, you know, it's at the time in the season where you can experiment too. You can throw some guys, you know, personally, I'd like to see Brandon Puricelli get a shot at that power play the way that kid's been playing.
Yeah. You know what? It was obviously coming into the year, you know, we knew a couple of those guys couldn't play day one. So, you know, you had to balance out repetitions of guys who were eligible to play and ready to go from day one. So that kept Jack and Brandon away from that a little bit so that we could be ready for Michigan Tech and roll out a power play that was, you know, hopefully in sync and doing things well. So, You know, when you look at the Kybel group with Nordqvist, Hampus Ericson, Louis Bidon, and Ashton Calder, you know, they were together as a group for chunks of last year. So, you know, we expect a little bit more production. They've had some good chances and some good looks. Haven't quite executed. And we, you know, we've tried to be patient and stay with it. And, you know, we've got to make a decision here later tonight and into tomorrow if we're going to make some personnel adjustments or shake some things up structure-wise as well. But I think we're to that point. We haven't had a lot of chances, you know, even and Adrian there. I think two of the power plays were just abbreviated. They were short, coming off some 4-on-4 hockey there. So I think we're 0-for-9, but it wouldn't even be a full 18 minutes there. So yeah, it's not been good enough. And, you know, we've got to fix that quickly because I think it's going to be really important once the WCHA play kicks off. I think there are some opportunities there to improve. And Brandon Percelli is one of those. You know, he will start getting in some rotations and some looks. And again, just create some competition. If you want to be on the power play, you have to go execute. And we've been okay at some areas, but ultimately you got to score a goal. So we've got to make some adjustments there.
It's interesting that you have the chance to figure this out right now. Again, this is the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Matt Pocket, Laker head coach Damon Whitten. You guys have a chance to figure some of these things out right now. And listen, it's unfortunate, but the reality is half of the WCHA does not have the opportunity to figure some of this stuff out on the ice right now. Alaska Anchorage is done. Minnesota State's been inactive. Bemidji State's been inactive. Ferris State's been inactive for a little while now. And the same with Northern Michigan. It's kind of an interesting opportunity because some teams will have this chance. Some won't in college hockey.
Yeah, you know, obviously the Anchorages and some of the Eastern teams that have canceled the season essentially, and you know that'd be tough. You know, yeah. I would have a hard time to sit there, and obviously you want to follow the science and be safe and keep everybody on your campus and your community safe. But you know, part of that is the mental health of our student athletes and the physical well-being of our student athletes. So that's a different challenge than what we're facing, as you said. I think some of the teams you mentioned are not fully paused or shut down, and I don't want to get into to any specific school to school, and I don't know all the details, but I know some teams are operating state to state. You know, there's different guidelines and regulations, so I think most of the teams are operating in some capacity and might not have the full team. I know one team doesn't have goaltenders, so they're going out there with almost their whole team without goalies. So everything's a little bit different campus to campus, but it does certainly adjust you know, how you can prepare and adjustments you can make when you don't have certain components or certain individuals. You know, and like I said, we've done some of that because we anticipate disruptions at some point. So we haven't just rolled out, you know, certain lines or certain power plays. We've tried to, you know, keep guys moving around a little bit to be prepared if or when we lose certain segments of our team.
I'm not sure that we fully understand how COVID-19 can affect things too. Is it different in Michigan than it is in Wisconsin, for instance? Because Wisconsin played last weekend, -5 guys who tested positive, but they still played. And a lot of teams in Michigan seem to be quarantining everybody if one or two guys show up positive on a test.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it's just state to state, Bill. I think it might be, you know, within the state, community to community, or health department to health department. So everybody's handling it a little bit differently. And, you know, that's one of the challenges. There's no clear mandate, you know, certainly across the nation, but even within our own state and geographic boundaries. So, you know, we have not had to face that yet, where what does it look like when, you know, maybe one guy has symptoms or a case? Are we all shut down? Is it that group? Is it his roommate? So that's going to be something we're going to have to deal with at some point, I would imagine. We haven't done that yet. And, you know, that's where one of the coordinations across the conference has been good. Teams and coaches have been really good sharing information of what it looks like on their campus and their community. Some of our league calls, the Michigan coaches have held on after and just talk about the unique challenges we face in Michigan and how we've handled things on our campuses. So it is very different state to state, but even within state boundaries, it can still be different here. So unique that way.
Yeah, and with the Lakers, you've had a lot of tests since you came back to campus, and you came back in July, really, because we started early in August this year, which is really strange in itself. But right now, you're not in school. There are no classes. You've finished the first semester. how much testing goes on right now, and how often does everybody get tested?
Yeah, well, right now we're following state mandates, and so you know we've got to follow the state guidelines in order to play. That you know we're produced, I think, 2 weeks ago. I think they expired on the December 8th, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we're all sitting around watching and waiting to hear what will happen next and what it looks like moving forward. On top of the state mandates, is there NCAA guidelines as well? Right now, the state is stricter than the NCAA. So, you know, we're following those protocols and working with our COVID team on campus. You know, Mike Beasley and Wendy Beach and a few others are on that. Again, we rely a lot on Patrick Sarner, athletic trainer, to, you know, follow what's going on within the state and nationally. Again, you know, we've done a good job. Our players are really doing a lot to keep the season going. And, I think it probably shows how important this game is to them, that, you know, they're willing to sacrifice, you know, pretty much anything to keep playing hockey and to keep the season moving forward.
All righty, we're going to take our second break. Laker Hockey Show, our first show of the season. And Matt and Damon and I will be right back after this on ESPN 1400.
Since 1916, a lot of independent agents have recommended auto owners insurance. And a lot of parents have taken that recommendation to heart. So have a lot of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. As we celebrate our first 100 years, Auto Owners Insurance thanks all those who have put their trust in us. And all the generations who will.
Visit Madigan Pingator Insurance Services today on Water Street in Sioux, Michigan, or at madiganpingator.com.
Is your furnace old? You could be dealing with a low-efficiency furnace costing you hundreds of dollars a year. The experts at Albert Heating and Cooling can help you with a new high-efficiency Bryant furnace. On sale now till the end of February. With your new furnace, you can buy an extended 10-year labor warranty for only $99. Start saving today with a new furnace and sleep soundly knowing you have no worries. Go online at albertheating.com or stop in at 3147 South M129, just south of 3 Mile Road today. Bryant. Whatever it takes.
Boss has your back when the weather turns white in light of day and dark of night. When winter shuts down work and schools, come with resolve and powerful tools. Endure through every push, salt, and stack until your streets are back to black.
Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, your boss dealer, just off exit 373, Rudyard, Michigan. For the safety and health of the communities we serve and our employees, our Central Savings Bank lobbies are now open by appointment only. CSB's drive-ups are open to serve all of your banking needs. Remember, you can always use mobile banking, internet banking, our 24/7 access line, and ATMs. You can also give us a call at 906-635-6250 to transfer funds. Ask what the CSB family can do for you.
Ask what we can do for you.
Welcome back to the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night, live from the studios of Sovereign Communications. Bill Crawford, along with Matt Pocket and Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers tonight, joining us. In the future, we'll be able to, if we continue to do this show in this fashion, we'll be able to get some players on from time to time by getting them on the telephone and doing things like that. If you've got an interest in shooting some questions to Coach Witten tonight, you can. We'll let Matt give you his Twitter address or his Twitter handle, and you can send a message in to him. We'll do that in just a few moments. But we are playing Huntsville this weekend, 5 o'clock Saturday, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, back-to-back games against Huntsville. And let's talk a little bit about them at this point. For one thing, they did just save their program in the past week or so by coming up with, what, Matt, $17 million over 10 years?
$17 million over 10 years. Yeah, that's an unbelievable amount of money. Cam Talbot, one of their alums, a big part of that. But not just him. It was their community. It's the hockey community that really rallied around that. It's really cool to see. And, I mean, they still don't have a conference home going forward. But they solved the immediate problem, right, Damon? I mean, they were going to run out of money and go bust.
Yeah, well, and I think their hockey alumni were a huge part of it. Yep. You know, it's they do have a long hockey history as in their before their Division I team as well, and a lot of pride in that program. You know, it's a very good school academically, a lot of, you know, great engineering programs, and you know, the rocket science down in that area, you know, with NASA and other entities down there. So you know, a lot of their hockey alumni spearheaded this and drove the fundraising, and then certainly backed it up with large gifts. So it was great to see for the program. You know, it's a good road trip in a lot of ways. You know, it's not bad. It's not, you know, so taxing, you know, certainly to get out of the upper Michigan and down to Alabama in January or February is not real hard on any of us to grab some sunlight and warmer temperatures. You know, one of their challenges is their facility. It's an older civic center in town there that they share with the pro team, and they're kind of the secondary tenant in there. So they have some challenges at times at scheduling and getting prime times and things like that. So I think a facility issue is going to be, you know, their big hurdle next. I think they can be an attractive member to conferences if or when they address the facility issue. But it was great to see the response, and that's kind of the hockey world, right? We're pretty passionate about our sport, and you know, people from all over gave and supported it, and it was great to see you know, that happen for them. And that, obviously, you know, Jack Jeffers came from Huntsville.
Yep.
Before the saving effort was out there. So I think a lot of us, you know, Michigan Tech had Mark Sinclair and Nett there. You know, had we known that was going to happen, you know, we wouldn't have tapped into those transfers. But you know, you sit there, things went pretty quickly once they announced it, and so we were fortunate to grab Jack. He's been really good for us, but tough on their program, some of the losses they suffered because of that announcement.
Yeah, they are a team that's buoyed by freshmen. They have 13 first-year players in their lineup, and that's six more than Adrian College had this past weekend. They're coached by Lance West, and I remember Lance. He was an interim coach a few years back at Alaska, but he did play at Huntsville, yeah. And I can remember him as a player too. But he's a big guy, and he's got Carlos Zernis is his assistant coach, his associate coach, and that's another guy who played at Huntsville. Yeah. And then they've got the former goaltender, Guerrero, who's a really good goaltender. He's an assistant coach there. So they have a coaching staff that's very loyal to their institution, their Chargers, and they're proud of that. And now they've got this money, and hey, they got things going their way. They're led by a kid named Bauer Neudecker, who was got like three or four goals in the first two games against Robert Morris. The kid's a junior, but he's the only player on their team from the USHL. So he's a high-end talent kid. He's not a big kid, but he can play.
Yeah, no question. I mean, they, like, you know, we just mentioned, they were hit pretty hard when that announcement came out. You know, a lot of their returning impact players, you know, were recruited as transfers, like Jack Jeffers, I said, to us, and Mark Sinclair, and, you know, a few others that are spread out at different programs around the country. So that's pretty tough to handle, you know, if that happened to us and we lost Ashton Calder, Pete Viette, Merrick Smittens. You know, it changes your whole roster. And it's going to be a setback for you. So they're dealing with that. You know, the coaching staff, as you said, they're proud alum of Alabama Huntsville. I think they'll do a really good job there, and they've already done it, you know, by addressing those losses in late process to bring the best players in that they were still available to recruit at that time. So there's some good players in there. You mentioned Neudecker. He's been a good player in our league for a while. Like a couple defensemen and Finneson and Lucas Bond. You know, Tyrone Bronte was a former Bemidji commit who ended up there at Huntsville. He's off to a good start there. They played at Robert Morris a couple weeks back, and it was a tie game before their starting goaltender went down, and then Robert Morris scored a couple late goals. So there will be a few adjustments, you know, with Lance West taking over as the new head coach. But, you know, we all remember the competitive nature of a Huntsville team. They come at you in waves, and they don't quit, and tenacious. And, you know, that will not change under Lance West, who will coach a similar style. Yes, structurally, there'll be some changes, but in terms of the compete level and the tenacity, you know, we expect this to be a typical Charger team in that way.
Yeah, they've always got the little guys who can skate, and they got Connor Wood back. He's a senior now, the kid with the long blonde locks, but he's a good little hockey player, and he'll be a tough one along with Neudecker, and they'll have some others, some of those freshmen they've got in there from the North American League in the Ontario Junior. They'll play hard.
Yeah, some good players out of those places you mentioned there. And again, it was a good series against Robert Morris. We were able a few weeks back now, but we're able to kind of digest that film. And obviously this game, like I said, was on our schedule. So we've been kind of looking ahead and prepping a little bit since they played that a couple weeks back. So we've been able to really watch and dissect their game, the adjustments that Coach West has them doing there. And then they're really structured. They're really well coached. And they've got some real tenacious players. Connor Woods, a pass, he's going to be on you all night long and giving you a little stick work and finishing his checks. And so again, this will not change their makeup of being very scrappy, very tenacious, very competitive, all very good characteristics, that will be there with this team.
Damon, you mentioned Jack Jeffers a couple of minutes ago. His first Laker goal came scoring on his ex-goaltender from 2 months earlier, Sinclair. That has to be a really weird spot for him to be in, though. Your program is dissolving. You're able to go pretty much anywhere. Then it isn't. I mean, then, of course, scoring on Sinclair, players talk, they chat. I'm sure there was some kind of chatter going on between those guys. But how was that on Jack, that whole saga?
Yeah, well, one of the things, we didn't recruit Jack originally. We just had him on our radar a little bit, knew of him, liked him as a player. And I can't remember, back, that's a handful of years ago, what our incoming class was or why it wasn't a fit. We didn't get a chance to see him play him a ton, just with timing and where we were at and where they were playing. So we knew of him. We knew he was a good player. Certainly, really liked playing against him. In my opinion, he was, their most impactful forward when we played their team, and that's why we liked him. But after they came back out and announced, hey, we're going to save the program, we're relaunching, that was one of our first calls, is to just let Jack know that if he wanted to stay with them, that we would understand that, and we would certainly respect, any decision that he felt like he wanted to stay. And, he was just comfortable with his decision. They lost a lot at that point. A couple of guys had transferred already. A couple more, I think, were on the verge of it. And, felt like he wanted to change the scenery, that it would be good for him. We had some really good conversations, in that quick recruiting process and from that. So, but, we understood that is a tough position for any kid to be in. So I think he had a lot of, good friends in that locker room and a lot of respect for the program. Him and Mark St. Clair are pretty good buddies. So, going into that tech series, they certainly had some conversations. And, Jack obviously got the upper hand there with that game winning goal. But a very unique situation for a kid to be in, and he's handled it really well. And again, he's been a real positive impact in our locker room.
Yeah, again, this Huntsville team, 13 freshmen in the lineup, just 5 sophomores, only 2 seniors for this team. Connor Woods, one of those 2 seniors. They've got goaltenders, 2 sophomores in George McBay and David Fessenden, and then the freshman Derek Crawl. I'm not sure who they'll be playing there. One of them was playing, as you said, at Robert Morris and got hurt, so we're not sure if he's still hurt or what, but that's kind of a tough position to have freshmen and sophomores thrown into the fray.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you look at their depth chart, when you look at their depth chart, there's a lot of youth across that lineup, and so that's certainly something, we want our guys to key in. You should be excited for the opportunity to get to match up against a younger player or somebody that just lacks experience at the Division I level. And those are opportunities we have to take advantage of and exploit. I'm not sure we did enough of that against Adrian, and this is another chance to do it here this upcoming weekend here. So there's some good matchups for us. But again, we're expecting a really competitive, gritty team to come up and get after it.
Yeah, we haven't really talked much about it, but we were pretty impressed with the young kid who played goal for Adrian on the Friday night game, Tallarico, the kid who played in Hurst in the NOJHL just last year. No, 2 years ago, because he's a sophomore now, I think, at Adrian. But I thought he was really good for guy's got to be like 5'6", but he moved very well.
Yeah, he's my size.
He did. He played well. He did a really good job. We got those 2 early goals, and one of them was up over him as a little goaltender. Kind of settled in after that and, did a really good job for them. We had a lot of great A's on that Friday night game. I think we ended up with 22 or 24, and so he was really good. He did a really good job for them, and they've got some good goaltending coming down the pipeline there at Adrian.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here in just a moment, but before we do that, we'll hit one more thing. I was very interested to see the game on Sunday, and I did watch the feed from Adrian, that Artie Borshioff got in the lineup, got to play, wore number 23, and saw quite a bit of action. Some thoughts on him, because he's a late comer. He just got here.
Yeah, no, I think we've played everybody that's here with us now. And so it's good. Everybody's gotten some action, and we've gotten some really good opportunity to evaluate guys and see them in action. Already, thrown to the wolves a little bit there. I think he had 4 or 5 practices with us, but we wanted to get him in and give him a chance to play. And it was a quick adjustment coming from junior hockey, where he was playing up until the semester break, to jump into a game and then a team like Adrian that just comes at you in waves. So started a little slow, but then I thought he really settled in for the second and third period. Again, really good puck touches there. He's got good size. You can see him needs to adapt to the speed of the college game here a little bit more. But we fully expect him to be able to do that with his hockey IQ and his ability there. Again, he's played the U18s a bunch of times out of Youngstown and played, some of the top players in the country in Dubuque and Muskegon and all those things. So it'll be a really good transition for him. And, even structurally, he's watched some film with us about how we want to play, but he's barely wrapped anything we've done. So we're adding, we're going backwards a little bit to repeat some drills that weren't here for Artie, refresh the other guys, but help Artie get up to speed in our structure.
Yeah, you look at Borshioff coming in. Bengtsson looks really good on defense as a freshman for Lake Superior. You've got Mitch Oliver waiting in the wings, trying to come off injury right now. Maybe we'll get a little bit of a update on him too. But the point here is you're going to lose Lucas Keibel, but the future of the defensive core looks pretty good.
Yeah, Will Rydell, those two senior left shot defensemen that'll be graduating after the season. Two pretty big losses. Those are key guys who play every situation in big minutes. But we do like the future of it. And Mitch Oliver practiced full go today. So we'll see if he's up to game speed and recovered enough to play. I mean, ideally, we'd like to get him in at least one game this weekend, and we can kind of get back to game shape and be ready for the WCHA play after. So again, our competition back there, I think, is really fierce, and we've got 3 to 4 guys that are all going to be battling for 1 or 2 spots. And that's good as a coach. Each of those guys has to handle it well and push each other. I think they'll do that, and they've done a good job so far. But a very competitive situation to get minutes on the back end right now.
That's great. It looks really good, and as we say, the numbers are good for the future of Laker hockey on the defensive end of things. We're going to take a break, our third of the night, and we'll be back with our final segment, the Laker Hockey Show, our first of the season on ESPN 1400.
While our dining room is closed, the Wicked Sister is still open for delivery and carryout. You can still order any of our crave-worthy burgers and construction dip, but now you can also order any of our beer, wine, and signature cocktails to go. Call 906-259-1086 or visit our website, wickedsistersue.com, to order. The Wicked's phone number again, 906-259-1086.
Is it time to install new windows, doors, or paneling? Perhaps you're finally going to build that new deck or addition you've been talking about, or repair the roof. Stop at Sue Builder Supply. You'll find helpful advice and quality materials that will make every job easier. Whether you're ready to paint, insulate, install new windows, or kitchen cabinets, the team at Sue Builder Supply will make the task less daunting by coaching you with great how-to tips. When there's a building or remodeling project in store, make your first stop Sue Builder Supply. You'll receive the best building materials and hardware and great project advice every time. Sue Builder Supply, helping you make your building and remodeling projects a reality. On Johnston by the Bridge in Sioux, Michigan.
All righty, we are back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show, our first of the season, coming to you from the studios at Sovereign Communication. We're live with Damon Witten, Matt Pockets here as well. We've got more questions for the coach here as we finish off the show tonight. But, we just talked about Mitch Oliver coming back into the lineup. We're talking about recruits and freshmen, but recruiting's always a great question. I know it's first and foremost in a lot of fans' minds, and we do have an extended dead period through the NCAA right now. What is a dead period? What can you do as a coach? What can't you do as a staff at this point with it being a dead period? And how long has this been extended? This is all due to COVID-19.
Yeah, it's, you know, NCAA defines a dead period. You can't go off campus and recruit. So you can't go watch games. You can't go evaluate games, and you can't host recruits on campus. So, you know, phone calls are allowed. Zoom type meetings, things like that are allowed. And so, you know, really anything we're doing is we can only watch on video right now. So we're, you know, consuming a lot of video and, you know, trying to watch and evaluate players as best you can. It's not a perfect science live, and certainly doing on video makes it a little bit more challenging as well. Certainly keeping up with our typical phone calls, text messages, things like that. And really the biggest adjustment is we've gone to, some Zoom meetings. At times we will, you know, because you can't have a kid, not many kids want to make a decision, without visiting your campus and getting a feel for, you know, your facility, your campus and the academics. And so, you know, we've gone virtual and, hosting Zoom meetings at times, depending on, you know, the age and in the process of that particular recruit, when they're ready to make decisions, things like that. So, really a much different feel, and, we've been in this for a long time now, and it's been extended a couple times. So it will be interesting to see what this looks like. You know, if you're a 20-year-old hockey player, maybe a 19-year-old hockey player, you know, you wanted to get on campus and meet coaches face to face and meet some of your future teammates and, you know, walk campus and see what it looks like. And they're just not able to do that. So something we've never lived through, and a much different time to be recruiting right now in college hockey and all college sports.
Here's a question for you. And there's no way that you could possibly know this at this point, Damon, but long-term changes, do you see some of the things that we're doing now, more Zoom calls, maybe fewer face-to-face visits, for whatever reason, right? Easier, budget reasons. Do you think there's going to be any long-term changes coming from all this to the future of recruiting?
Yeah. Well, I think we can be more efficient in some ways, but sure. I think it's such a competitive, you know, competitive area to be in. You know, if we go to Clemson football, you know, they're not going to go Zoom if they can get on campus. Sure. And their whatever they spent on their facility. So the competitiveness of recruiting will probably bring us back closer to pre-COVID rules as much as we can be, if the NCAA allows it, and obviously if it's safe and things like that. So Clemson football, Alabama's football, they're going to do anything they can to get an advantage. And certainly when you get kids on campus, and I think kids want to see it, you know. So if you're talking about student athlete welfare, and we're recruiting kids from British Columbia, or, you know, wherever it may be, you know, a South Carolina kid, and they've never been to the UP, they've never seen our campus, you're asking a lot for a kid to potentially do that, to never set foot on campus and see it. So I think we get back to somewhat close to an old normal, but we'll see what it'll look like. And maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah. How much of an effect does it have on assistant coaches? You know, assistant coaches are the guys who generally go on the road, at least they're bird dogging early, and they have a lot of buddies or assistant coaches. These guys will sit up in a corner of a rink watching a junior game. There'll be like 10 of them up there. They're all friends. They all get along. They can't do that right now. Yeah. They can't. They got to stay here. It's got to be kind of tough on, especially on Zach Sizek, not to be able to get out on the road and go see some players.
Forget Zach and Mike. I'm worried about Amy York and Zach's fiance Emily. You know, they're driving their significant others nuts. I mean, you're right. I mean, the typical hours and the time on the road is it's demanding. You know, and we enjoy it, and we wouldn't change much of it. But all of a sudden we're in town. You know, my own wife is, she can't wait for recruiting to open back up or some road trips to come up, because it's, you know, we're just wired a little different that way. You know, we love to be in the rink. We love to evaluate and, you know, grind through film and things like that. So it's a big, big change. And, you know, certainly before we could practice, before we had guys back, or when we were paused, a while back now, it's not easy for us to handle, because you're kind of, you used to go, and we don't pull the reins back very well. So if our wives are tuning in, we apologize for how crazy we're making you and how much we're screwing up your routines and, screwing up the kids and all that stuff. But it's a different world we're operating in, and we're all trying to kind of continue to figure it out and navigate it.
Well, the big thing is we still are playing games, coaching, getting behind the bench, working with players every day. That's what coaching's all about right there. It's a teaching game, and you're able to do that at this point. Whereas, as Matt said earlier, and as you've talked about already, a lot of your colleagues aren't able to do this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're, again, you know, just extremely thankful to be able to do that. And, you know, even more so now when the school's done, you know, we're through finals and obviously our guys are here still as we're prepping for Alabama Huntsville, but you actually have a little bit of time now to grab them in other areas. You know, they're usually rushing from class. They got to get dinner and get to night class. And it's just always go, go, go. It's a rush. There never seems to be enough time. So you actually get a little bit more time to teach right now, to connect with your players. I never feel like we do enough of that. And, you know, here we actually have a little bit more time to do it. So we're trying to enjoy that and be grateful for
that. Yeah, this is a time when it could be a little more dangerous with this pandemic too, because guys have time on their hands where they might be in class or be in the library or be at home studying. They're not doing that right now. There are other things they could be doing. How do you send them home for the holidays? You're going to have a break here unless you, and I don't know, are you working on maybe another non-conference game or series or something between now and Christmas, yeah, or are you going to let these guys go? And if you do let them go, you've got 9 international players. Are they going to go home?
Yeah, great questions, all those. And, you know, it's tough any year, but you had COVID in and, you know, home country regulations and air flights and all the things we're dealing with, return to campus, return to Michigan, you know, what do all those things look like? So it's a really challenging topic we're dealing with. You know, one thing, we went to our leadership group about this, and partly because we were here in July, you know, we've been here almost 6 months now. It'll be close to 6 months. That's a long time. And our leadership group felt like guys wanted a break, wanted to go home. So we listened to them. And the plan as of right now is after this Huntsville series is for guys who choose to and guys who want to go home will be able to do that. A few of our internationals will try to get home and have flights planned on that. And a few of them are just going to hunker down either in town or, you know, be with friends they've made here or girlfriends or teammates to stay in the, for the holidays, you know, up here in the Sault Ste. Marie or in the area. So it's challenging. Obviously, our testing protocol, when we get back, you brought up the testing protocol earlier. When they return to Sault Ste. Marie, whether it's from, you know, downstate or from Europe, you know, we'll have to be very diligent in our quarantines and our protocol to test and to make sure we're doing it in a safe manner. So it's a really interesting time to do that. I think guys, ideally, if we could have played one more series, they would have been okay with doing that. It just, I know Tech, Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan had already booked games. I think with Bemidji Mankato, I think Ferris Bowling Green might have games. I'm not sure if they're still on at this point. But within our footprint, there were no games to be had. So we're able to get Huntsville for this last series and then guys can kind of start their holiday break and a little bit longer, you know, an extra 6-7 days in most years, maybe 8 days. But we'll still get back, you know, right, December 26th and get back to work and, get going.
Is there a quarantine time? Say Yuki goes home to Tokyo. When he comes back, does he have to quarantine for 14 days?
Not that I'm aware of right now. You know, I think the CDC guidelines are not there like they were for the start of the school year. Again, you know, we want to make sure our testing protocol is on point. Our plan would be, you know, that hopefully guys can test in their home countries before they return. And then the first thing they do before they're around teammates would be to test. They'd have to get a negative COVID test upon return before they can get in our locker room. You know, certainly if they're in a bigger house, you know, Yuki's okay. He's got his own place, but some guys would have to, you know, make sure they're in their rooms quarantine and not doing that till we have negative results. And we have had access lately to rapid tests, and so hopefully we'll be able to continue to know quickly when guys get back if they're negative and can return to play right away.
So what's this been like on these international guys? Is it kind of all right? Can't go home anyway. There's already kind of the big disruption from not being around your family so much. Or is it even tougher on these guys because now there's even more disruptions to normal life?
Yeah, and I think it varies, you know, person to person. You know, our Swedes, I believe all of our Swedes were home this summer, and Sweden had a much different approach than our country did or most countries did. And so, you know, they had a fairly normal summer back home in Sweden. They came back, and, you know, I think they're still fairly open in Sweden. There hasn't been a ton of change as they're watching trends in COVID cases and things like that. You know, Lucas Kybel and Merrick Mittens didn't get home this summer, you know, so they've been a long time from getting back to their home countries. And, you know, I know Lucas is eager to go home and see his family and get back. And so he's hopeful that he can do that. And, you know, the plan as of now is to do that. So I think it depends player to player. And certainly a guy like Yuki, it's pretty tough to get to Japan for a short trip. So Yuki typically stays here through the holidays and, you know, hunkers down and, you know, does his business here a little bit there. So different from player to player, country to country, region to region. season. You know, this is new, obviously, for all of us. And so we're just trying to support them and have resources available to them if they're not able to get home.
Okay, we were talking recruiting. We've only got a couple of minutes left in the show tonight. And I know you have signed a right winger out of Maryland in the North American Hockey League in the past few days. His name is Josh Nixon. He's a pretty good hockey player. And tell us a little bit about him and where he's going to fit in.
Yeah, you know, he's been a long process for us. So, you know, Josh is a real good hockey player, spent a couple of years in the OJHL before going down to Sioux City last year. And, you know, due to some of the import issues this year, you know, he wasn't able to get back down to Sioux City and is in Maryland now. Just got there, you know, hadn't skated in many weeks, but played their games this past weekend at a point per game there. So a real good right winger, as you mentioned. You know, he can score. He's got grit to his game. He's got skill to make plays as well. So it's a guy we've been recruiting for a long, long time, trying to, you know, get that signature and that commitment. So he's a guy we're really excited to add. I think we hit most of our other NLIs last time we talked. I hope I'm not missing anybody out. Sometimes it filters back to guys and you never want to leave guys out. But Josh was the last NLI to get back to us here and a forward that we're really excited about to add to our team.
Yeah, we'll bring all the other guys up next week. We're going to do a show a week from today. We won't have anything to talk about in advance because we won't be playing a series, but we'll be wrapping up Huntsville. We do play Alabama Huntsville this weekend. Matt, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm looking forward to these games. Again, conference opponent and coming off this Adrian series too, like you said, very different from Michigan Tech. What's this like now going up against another really young, really scrappy Alabama Huntsville team that again, save their program. I mean, I think there's a lot to play for those guys.
Oh, no question. You know, we'll see them again in the WCHA conference portion. So not only do you want to get off to a good start and keep this 3-0-1 record, you know, we want to go into the break playing our best hockey, but also let them know that, you know, we're going to see them twice down the road. And, you know, you want to send a clear message there and our mentality of how we play and the matchup it's going to be for them as well. So I think our guys will have a little bit better focus and approach being a WCHA opponent that we know a little bit about. And, you know, we're excited to play and just remind everybody that it's Saturday at 5:00, Sunday at 3:00. That's been a adjustment to the schedule, but excited to get back to Taffy Able. Miss our fans still tremendously, but really excited to be back playing hockey again this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, and you can hear both games on Yes FM, our sister station here. Matt and I will be there for both games. Again, 5:00 on Saturday, 3:00 on Sunday afternoon. Duluth leads Omaha 2-1 in the second period right now in the bubble being played out in Omaha. And that takes care of our first Laker hockey show of the season. Damon, thanks for being here. Matt, great job helping us out here and being a part of the show as well. And again, Matt and I will be there on Saturday and Sunday when the Lakers take on Huntsville. That's our show on ESPN 1400.